Hello and welcome to Football Twaddle, the second episode of 2020. My name is Saru and I have with us in the studio a very good friend of ours, Manav.
Yeah, hi everyone.
And Baru makes his appearance after 2018 for the first time on the podcast via Skype.
Yeah. What is up?
I hope your next appearance is not 2022, just before Qatar.
Oh, yes. I've penciled that date in.
By the way, you're injured. What happened? What happened to your like arm, hand, fingers?
Yeah, I tried recording cricket to Waddle, but I got beaten up for lack of expertise.
Why? You couldn't say Rohit Sharma ne bada achha six mara.
Arey, wahi to bola, to out ho gaya us ball pe.
All right. Okay, let's talk about this game, which the big game of the weekend. I'm not talking about the one in which Wolves won 3-2 coming back. We're talking about Liverpool versus Manchester United. And one of the reasons why we called Manav is because he loves Manchester United and it kind of pained him to watch this game. What were the emotions running through? You expected Manchester United to lose the game, didn't you?
Not really. I was still optimistic because we had outdone them the last time we met, although it was at Old Trafford.
Outdone?
Yeah,
really?
Yes. Yeah, we had outdone them. I am pretty convinced. Apart from that Marcos Rojo mistake, which led Lallana to equalize in the reverse fixture.
Huh.
We had done pretty well in that leg. I was expecting something of the similar kind.
Hmm.
The problem was, of course, we had some key players missing, Rashford, McTominay and Pogba.
Yeah.
And it was clear the
I thought Manchester United missed Ashley Young quite a lot yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. But yeah, so I think we were pretty good for certain parts of the match, but especially the last 25 to 30 minutes of the match, I think we were really good. To keep this Liverpool side at Anfield down to 1-0, and the second goal, of course, came with the last kick of the game when everyone was in the opposition half.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter at that point if someone scores second goal.
Yeah, people are saying Daniel James should have brought Salah down. We are already lack of strikers and forwards, and he would have got a straight red because he was the last defender anyway.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think it was a sensible move from him to not foul Salah.
So, before we get to
it was a tactical decision.
Tactical non-foul.
Yeah. Reminds me of the...
Yeah.
Baru, before we get back to or talk about the game, man, Mo Salah's body. Oh, my God. What's up with that six-pack, dude?
Yeah, I mean, he just brought someone like Alisson, who's already like really good looking, to his knees, man.
Oh, yeah. I thought Alisson was going to propose to Salah at that point.
Yeah, it was very Shah Rukh Khan-y in execution.
Shah Rukh Khan
with the power slide. Yeah. Shah Rukh Khan is.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, so you like, you know, and then the trolling starts. Like, all the Manchester United fans on Twitter, they were like, oh, what is Salah showing his six-pack for? And the Liverpool fans are hitting back like, bro, you had like Cristiano for 9 years, so you have no right to talk about anyone showing their six-pack to this. But, man. So, is that the highlight of the game for you, Baru? Salah scoring and then like...
No, I was asleep by then, man. I mean, I actually saw that last kick and like in the highlights on. I thought it was 1-0, and I was like, yeah, Man United has held them again. But as Manav just explained, the scoreline does not speak of the match.
Really,
because United almost held them again.
but there was a period.
Funny how the Manchester United fans are now like just happy with almost holding teams.
I know, it's just, it's amazing to see Manchester United fans become morph into Liverpool fans of 2000s, early 2000s. Like, the transformation is complete. Manav, is that a fair assessment?
Not really. I think it's just been 7 years and Liverpool had to wait for 30.
Yeah,
we certainly will win the league before it completes 30 years.
Dude, that is such a bullshit statement. We will win the league before 30 years. Like, there's no time frame also to it. 29 pe hua, so there's no big difference.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but still, it's still work in progress.
Like you talk like Patrice Evra, actually. You know, Patrice Evra said in the post-match, I think he said, when they said, you know, Manchester United, I think Jamie Carragher said, Manchester United should be going for the best players, the best manager, everything. And Patrice Evra said, But we are not that Manchester United anymore. We are the different Manchester United. We are working to be that Manchester United.
Yeah, which is totally true. I don't think any United fan should have a hard feeling in accepting this. It's very much the truth. Because it's been 7 years, we've seen the quality of players has come down, of course.
Yeah.
And the quality of football has come down. We are sacking managers like any other club.
Yes.
Which is very uncharacteristic of Manchester United, so to say. And we are going down the Chelsea road or others, as people troll us by saying
there
that.
There is nothing called the Chelsea road, dude. That's the only road. So, what are you going on about Chelsea road? Every club. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying you'd have to go the Bournemouth road.
Oh, yeah. Of going down with the manager.
Eddie Howe.
Yeah, so before we talk about David De Gea's VAR thing, one thing, and I didn't know this till yesterday, I'm not sure how many people knew about Marcus Rashford's injury, but Henry Winter on Twitter wrote, Rashford was carrying a single stress fracture in his back, now has a double stress fracture, and he also has a piece of floating bone in his ankle requiring non-intrusive surgery. Dude, the amount of commitment of And, like, Rashford is one of them, but the amount of commitment the players have, they play with so much injuries, it's just hard to believe and hard to imagine. I remember Baru once, he just, like, fell down and he didn't go to play for, like, 3 weeks. He, like, nahi, sooj gaya, nahi ja raha.
Well, Baru doesn't get paid £200,000 a week, does he?
Even if he did, I don't think.
Yeah, I think somebody else had also made the statement, like, there are actually two types of players. I mean, there are ones who, like, even if they get a slight niggle, they'd rather, like, sit out, you know, like people like Pogba.
And Anthony Martial.
And most of the Arsenal squad. Most of the Arsenal squad over the past decade, they were the type of people who would, like, sit out the minute they got an injury. But there are some people like Rashford who really wanted that bad.
Yeah.
That they'd rather play through an injury like this and... probably, you know, get some extra painkillers or whatever.
Yeah, but at some point of time, you've also got to question the medical staff. Should they really allow him to play and force himself in such a scenario? Because he might have worsened it. That might have been cured in probably 2 weeks. Yeah. Now he's out for 8 or 10 weeks.
I don't know. But you have to see.
At the end of the day, it's the player, right, who gets the final thing in this. Like, He's going to be the type of person who's going to hide an injury from the medical staff and say that, no, I'm fine, you know, it's not hurting anymore. Or,
there have been enough examples of players, their injury and playing.
There's no way for the medical staff to quantify the amount of pain that person is in, right? If he's good at hiding it or whatever.
Quantifying is fine, but they should ascertain how worse can it get if he continues to play.
Dude, it's actually a much more complicated question, right?
It's really simple. They're probably going to, like, poke him in random places and be like, ab lag raha hai kya?
Ab laga.
He'll just say no to it. Then he'll be like, theek hai, dard nahi ho raha, toh theek hoga.
But dard toh sirf dil ko hota hai na, Baru. All right, Manav, this whole... Yeah, that's true. Manav, so let's get to this. David De Gea versus Virgil van Dijk. I thought it was a foul on De Gea, but I don't know. I don't know why was there such a big brouhaha over it. It was a clear foul, right?
It was obviously a foul. You can see VAR gave it, like, instantly.
Why do you think there was a debate that it was not a foul? Or
probably because Sunes was in the studio and not anybody else. If there had been three other pundits, I'm sure it would have been a one-sided. There was no argument, to be honest. It was a clear foul. The goalkeeper gets protection in such cases and he deserves it, in my opinion.
Yeah, Baru, do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I think even... this guy, De Gea, didn't protest that much, right? Actually.
What are you saying? He got a yellow card for protesting. Why won't De Gea protest, dude?
Afterwards, he's like, "Arre, kya ho gaya?" Usko laga apne paas ball hai, nikal gaya, chalo aage badho.
No, he was more like, obviously, but he's going to blow. I think De Gea was in that phase that obviously the ref will blow, and that didn't happen, so he said I would rather concentrate on the game.
I actually think De Gea didn't expect Firmino to score that bloody worldie. That's why he thought ki chalo abhi to goal nahi hua hai. But it just turned out to be the other way. But man, I have to say, for the 15 minutes of the second half, Liverpool, where they were just something else altogether. And this is actually quite shocking. You know,
15 minutes of De Gea's protest.
Yeah,
because after, it did look like it got long, man.
Hey, yeah, I'm talking about after that, Baru.
We're talking about second half.
We're talking about second half. We moved on from that.
No, we moved on.
Yeah, but wow. I actually was reading a stat that...
spend more time on Liverpool on such things.
You know, I'm wearing a t-shirt which says Live United now, Baru.
Wow, what is this? Is this like ATK?
Yeah, I've done my own merger.
Merged.
Yeah, and I'm wearing it on an Arsenal's away uniform.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I found a piece of stat which I thought was quite surprising. Liverpool are the third highest use of long ball as a tactic in chances created this year in the Premier League, which is kind of surprising. I didn't know that.
Which are the first two names, if you're aware?
Sheffield is one.
Okay.
And I don't know the second, but Liverpool are the third.
I think the diagonal balls will have a lot to do with it. The balls which probably Arnold gives to Mane or Robertson gives to Salah, and even Van Dijk throws quite many long balls. In fact, he got an assist. Alisson got an assist yesterday for the second goal.
Dude, that is why he ran so much. He just wanted to feel part of a team or something.
Yeah, how does it feel to get 3 points in fantasy? 3 or 4, whatever.
Oh, is that what he wrote on Twitter?
No. It's my OG, Saru. Come on.
All right. Okay, enough of this whole Liverpool versus... enough of the Liverpool Manchester. Oh, by the way, the last thing on Manchester United, Bruno Fernandes, it looks like the deal is stalled now, and Woodward is just like again gone crazy over the transfers. I don't think they're ever going to get more than 2 players per transfer window now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that would be the case. I think we'll get more than two players, because anyway we are throwing salaries away. We are giving salaries away to each and every player. Huh. And even Ole said in his post-match conference that they might look for a short-term fix. Mm. And even newspapers were reporting that they might sign someone on loan. I was probably thinking that Ibrahimovic would be the first choice, but now he's already joined AC Milan. So I don't know who would the next Henrik Larsson be.
Koi nahi rahega. Don't worry. Bas chup baitho. Alright, before we take a break, Baru, do you want to talk about why Arsenal keep throwing a lead away?
No.
Why?
Dude, why they keep throwing it? Why don't want to talk about it?
Yeah, why don't you want to talk about it? You should talk about it. Dude, we are a sponsored show now. You should talk about such things. Content is king now.
Oh, man. let me just throw words around. Transition.
What transition? Transition from who? They threw Leeds away during Wenger's time. Then they threw Leeds away during Emery's time. Now they're throwing Leeds away under Arteta. So what are they transitioning towards?
Tradition. There you go.
Sampraday. Parampara.
Parampara. Anushasan.
Yes. But why? So, they were playing quite well, no?
They always play well nowadays, at least in the start of the game. And it's just, I think at the end of the day, old habits are, they die hard. So they just manage to concede one of these stupid goals all the time. They just don't finish games, right? Because nowadays, if you see with the way Arteta is, with his tactics and everything in place, Arsenal become one of those teams that start matches really well.
Hmm.
And, but the work rate and his expectations from his players is so high that they usually burn out in the first half itself, if not earlier. And that is evident in the second half then. I mean, it's just so bad, and that's how they concede these goals. And the players are just not physically ready. I think this is something even David Luiz had said after the first game.
Yeah.
The players, they need the rest of the season and the preseason to cover it up, to recover and, come to that level of fitness which Arteta has in his mind from each player of his.
Dude, but that is actually quite amazing, no? That a manager in Arteta, we don't know whether Arteta will be success or failure, but then his expectations are so high that the players are physically not able to even try for it. That just shows, I don't know, does it make Arteta a great manager or a Emery a bad manager?
Professional, you know, top division, English top division level players.
Yeah, they like
are coming out and saying that, you know, we're just not physically fit for this. Like, these people are at peak human, you know, whatever condition.
I think it's the basic transition
except
resistance. I think it's the basic because transition resistance which happens. Because anyway, we have all heard that Pep brings out the next level in you, or it means his training and all is so hectic.
Your training could be hectic, but I'm sure top level football player. We're talking about a top 5-6 team. How can they physically be like? They're openly admitting we're physically not good enough. Like, how can they be so off physically?
They're just saying we're not good enough for his training methods. Maybe if you get in someone else, they will be fine.
So how bad was Emery's training methods?
Yeah, that's a good question to ask. Because everyone says that Pep's training method or Juventus training methods are a notch above the rest.
Yeah, but sure, like, they can't be that notch above that David. Their players suddenly are playing only at like half the game. Like, this quote of Skodran Mustafi, he's my favorite Arsenal player, like, ever after Per Mertesacker. Did you read that, Baru? Did you read his whole interview?
The one about how we shouldn't be looking at the Premier League table?
Yes. If you put it that way, it just makes him so stupid. But that was actually a pretty good interview. And he said, you know what, we should just, like, now look after Arteta's long-term vision, and we need to just get on with it and forget about the table, which seems quite a sensible thing to say, no?
Yeah. So, there's any resistance to like a new manager or something new or to transition. It just shows that the players are definitely dedicated to the cause. The fact that they are managing to put in that much of a shift, even though they're not in the condition to. I mean, they've signed up. I mean, not signed up for it, but they're definitely on the same boat as Arteta. Unlike Emery, where it looked like he totally lost the dressing room and no one was interested in playing for him or the club.
Okay.
People were looking for a way out. Mm. But yeah, at least he's got that part right. I mean, for the long term, it does look like Arteta's answer.
Yeah. Did you? I'm sure it brought a laugh to your Arsenal fans, but this line was amazing. The German, however, is not thinking about his future now and is instead putting the team's needs first.
Oh, man.
What do you make of it? Is he going to sign a long-term contract?
The fact that he's looking at after the team's needs means he's going to retire from football.
Oh, dude. He's looking after every football team's needs.
That covers both things. He doesn't care about his future and he's looking after the club's needs.
Alright, cool. Okay, we should take a break right now, and after the break, we should talk about Chelsea losing again. Oh god, which is kind of like pissing off. And Manchester City drawing, and that gives Liverpool 16-point lead. And with a game in hand. Is this going to be Pep's last season at City? That's an interesting discussion we should have. So stick around, guys. Stay tuned to Football Twaddle. Hello, welcome back to Football Twaddle. Baru is off the phone, but Manav is still here. What's up, Manav?
Yeah, all good.
All right. Oh, by the way, there is a stat. Alisson is the first Liverpool goalkeeper to assist a Premier League goal since Pepe Reina set up Fernando Torres in March 2010. Dude, no Liverpool goalkeeper had an assist for 10 years, a decade. Probably that's why he ran. Like, he knew it.
Probably. But what's the frequency otherwise?
Of a goalkeeper assisting? Yeah. It's not once in 10 years.
Once
in 10 years seems a lot. There must be some occasion where a goalkeeper just like punts the ball long and the striker scores it, right? Any team.
I'm not very sure about it. I know I've seen Edison the frequency of Edison doing it has been
much higher.
Good. In the recent years. But otherwise, I'm not really sure. I think it should be as frequent as, probably a goalkeeper scoring. Because anyway, you need a header or something.
No, you just like catch the defender off his line and you score. Like,
of course.
I imagine one Liverpool keeper, whoever it is, would have done that and Suarez would have latched onto it and scored a goal, right?
Probably the likes of Suarez and Vardy would...
Yeah, you would expect. Like, Vardy, you see the number of goals he scored because Kasper Schmeichel's, like, done that.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see Kasper Schmeichel's statistics.
Dude, that's a crazy stat. I didn't know for a decade there was no keeper who did that. Anyway, so that's it. Let's talk about Chelsea, man. What started off as a season so promising and so good?
I mean, you're referring to the 4-0 defeat at Old Trafford?
Yeah, it's okay. That we expected. Like, not 4-0, but you saw enough in that game to know that, okay, chalo yaar, it can't be that bad a season.
Yeah.
But, and in between, it got really good, right? But now it is like, now it's actually like showing true colors of youth, their mistakes and all of it. And yeah, poor man, Super Frank is having a tough time. They're still fourth, correct, but they are like...
I think 8 losses in the Premier
eight
League
losses
already.
Yeah.
What's the home and away split? They've lost at Stamford Bridge as well, I think.
They've
in
lost
a couple of
lost,
games.
They lost to Southampton, no? Recently at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, they did.
So, it's...
I think Southampton have a pretty good record against all the top 6 sides.
Other than... after the Leicester 9-0 defeat.
Yeah, yeah.
Southampton are just going crazy. Like, see, Chelsea, out of the 23 games, they've lost 8. But that... More than that, it is like... It now looks like they actually have to buy a few players.
Hmm.
And it's not that all the youngsters are just like killer and going for it, which was kind of utopian.
If you look at the home table of the Premier League, Chelsea are actually 9th. They have 17 points from 11 games.
Who is the first? Liverpool.
First is, of course, Liverpool. Then you have City, even Man United is 4th.
Not bad.
Yeah. That's what the home form, I think they lost to Crystal Palace in the beginning of the season. Apart from that,
United,
the home form, yeah. And apart from that, the home form has been pretty
Chelsea are ninth. And what's the away table?
The away table, again, Liverpool and City are the... Liverpool, City and Leicester is 1-2-3 across the two tables.
Okay.
Chelsea are fourth in the away table.
So their away is actually better than home.
Yeah, so they have 22 points from 12. Possible 36.
I bet you anything Spurs are like 15th or 16th in away table.
Spurs are 12th.
Oh, it's amazing how people like, if you look at their stats for 2019, they ended up with the most defeats in the Premier League, right, by any club in the year 2019. Some crazy stat like that about Spurs.
Probably.
Like them reaching the Champions League final by fluke just papered over so many things for that club.
Yeah. I think they're missing Fernando Llorente as well. I think he did a huge favour in that Champions League semi-final. He was the main difference.
He did this huge favour even against Manchester City also, no?
Man City.
Was the goal name Man City? Against Ajax too he did, right?
Yeah, I think that hip or the arm goal. Yeah. Okay, right. You got it.
Yeah.
I think it was a knockout game. Yeah. Death.
Talking about this transfers and stuff, don't you think this is like a very thunder January transfer window?
Yeah, yeah.
Last week we spoke about Cheng Tosun moving from Everton to Crystal Palace. And I was like, what the hell? What's going on? Who wants Cheng Tosun? And you know who scores a goal against Manchester City? Cheng Tosun. So, yeah, what else is going on in this transfer window? I don't know.
I think nothing except Haaland, which happened quite early. And he had a remarkable debut.
Hat-trick
on the debut.
Did you watch that?
Yeah, I have seen the goals. I saw the highlights.
They were down 3-1.
Yeah.
And our man comes through. And then they're leading 4-3 in 15 minutes. And he finishes his hat-trick in the 80th minute or something. That was some turnaround by Dortmund, dude.
True.
And did all you Manchester United fans cry?
But yeah, he's still 21 and all.
So you can still buy Haaland.
Yeah. And he's from Norway, I think. So
he's not from Molde. What? If Solskjaer is still there, right? Realistically, how long do you think Solskjaer has?
I think he has still another year. I think end of the season, he's definitely going to be there.
By next December.
And next year, they'll see if this kind of run continues. Huh. Suppose we are again 6th or 7th next year with such bad form. I think then he might have to go. But I think end of the season, he's definitely there. They will give him another summer transfer window.
They will, right?
Yeah.
They should.
They should. They don't have an option. They've done that reckless sacking.
What about Pochettino?
I think I would personally have liked him at Barcelona. But still, they have gone with that.
Do you get a feeling that this may be the last year of Pep at City? and then Pep will leave, and then City may hire Poch. He will come to Manchester, but it may be to City rather than United.
So yes, I do think it will be the last year of Pep in England, in fact, because he doesn't really join any, well, his track record says that he doesn't really join any other team in the same league. So I don't know where
he will go
now. His track
record is two clubs, now three. So
yeah. So yeah, probably going by. So I think probably somewhere in Italy he'll go next, but I don't see him staying in the Premier League next season. And definitely not City.
I don't think. I think this season probably, even if he like stays this season, I think next is last. But he looks tired also.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I think not being, matlab, unless, of course, if he wins the Champions League this season, I think there would be a huge star on his, I think that would be
a, that he's won the first Champions League in his life without Messi.
Correct.
They asked him, do you remember the press conference where they asked him that, what do you make of the allegation, Pep, that you can win the Champions League only with Messi? And he said, yeah, that is true. Yeah. I have won it only with Messi. Only so, what to do? Yeah. Well, but that was more like, oh, I'm so humble, but I'm like so good types. dude, Bournemouth, what's happening? Are we going to see Eddie Howe's team just get relegated?
Yeah, probably.
They lost to Norwich also. And they are, suddenly if you see they're 19th in the table, like they're just 3 points away from the safety. But then their form, dude, they've just like, they've lost 4 out of the last 5.
Correct. And I think Bournemouth was such a revelation last season with all those players, I think.
Oh, Callum Wilson, Callum Wilson, Ryan Fraser, Josh King.
Exactly. And I think Jordan Ibe coming off the bench scored many goals. Nathan Ake was doing very good. I don't know, suddenly they've switched off. But again, they still got points off Manchester United.
Come on, that is like, what do you say? Look at the number of teams who've gotten points of Manchester United. You can add Chelsea to that list of the teams who've gotten points of Chelsea. Yeah. Like Southampton's revival, you can squarely blame on Frank Lampard. Because that was the game Southampton lost. But Bournemouth, man, Eddie Howe and his team, do you have a feeling, a sneaky feeling that they may actually get relegated this season?
Well, if I'm looking at the table and I see the other teams, I think Norwich are definitely the prime candidates to go down because...
They were, but now they're only 3 points behind Bournemouth and they beat Bournemouth just now.
Yeah, I know, but they're still like 6 points away from safety and I don't really see any spine in that team to come 6 points up right now.
Pookie! You don't like Pookie and Buendia?
No, I'm not saying Pookie is a good finisher. He has already shown that. But yeah, is it enough? But only goals can't win, get you points and win matches. I think defense is something which you build on. I think something which Watford has done really well. I think Doucouré and Doucouré and Co, which is, I think the defense is doing pretty well.
Yeah, and Watford. Then suddenly they have Troy Deeney back from injury. Watford were like last and now they are like 17th and they're actually doing quite well. If you look at the last 5 games, they have 2 draws and 3 wins, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of why would you want to change managers? Like they've changed 2 managers already this season. And it's just a prime example of why would you want to change
but
managers.
But the Watford owners though, this is their cash cow now, no? Not Udinese anymore. So they basically pour all their resources into Watford.
Correct.
And it is in the Pozzo family's interest that Watford remain. Then they can fund the other 2 clubs. They own a club in Spain and as well as Italy.
Right.
So, yeah. But so if you look at the table right now, so you are saying that Norwich is like a goner, right?
Yeah.
Who else do you think, going by how much you've seen this season and the form and everything, are like iffy there?
I think if what we've seen, if it continues, then certainly I think Bournemouth will be another team which
and
will
go down. And Aston Villa?
Aston Villa, I'm not sure because I think
Jack Grealish
can be a hero for the team and he can probably pull them out of the danger.
Dude, ek banda, come on.
I know, but still, they've signed so many players. I think they were the highest gross spenders in the Premier League this season.
They were highest at one point, but they're across in the top league. 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
they spent more than
100,
120 million.
Yeah, I think in the Premier League, I think they were on the gross basis. Probably Maguire would have... change the statistic, but yeah, until then they were the highest spenders. So I think they have a few players. I'm sure they are capable enough. Grealish, if he gets support from different teams, and we all know how the Premier League works in the last 5 to 8 weeks. any team can turn around. So I think Aston Villa can be one of those teams. And Villa Park can be really intimidating at times for oppositions.
I've never been there. So I don't know. Oh, did you see this video? The last thing, let's discuss on the podcast. There was a video of, I think, a Chinese tourist outside Anfield, right? And obviously, they know only Mandarin or Cantonese. So they were being told something. And they were wearing Liverpool shirts and they were just happy and stuff. So some Englishman wrote, this is English Premier League. Like, he wrote it in a condescending way. Like, who are these guys to, like, watch English Premier League types? And I was like, come on, dude. Like, we are the, like, foreign fans. Sometimes a lot of English fans just take us for granted, thinking that these are not real fans. Stadium mein aate nahi. But stadium mein aayenge, so they're like, oh, who are these tourists? Why are they watching this stadium? It's just so annoying that they actually dismiss the international fan base of the clubs. Like, they mean nothing to the club.
Well, that might be the case, might be in case of certain clubs, but other clubs, it's not really the fact, because, say, for Manchester United, I can tell you, like, yesterday they had a meet and greet organized by Apollo Tyres.
Dude, even Liverpool does all that. I'm talking about a specific mentality of, like, a few English fans who think that, you know, like we don't have anything else to do. Who spends so much money, goes abroad, ensures that they watch a match of their favorite club? Doesn't that take a lot of commitment? Everyone does it, right? Like, if you have the money and you plan well in advance, it's still a commitment of time, money, resource, everything. So if you're not a fan, why would you do that? Like, I don't see why they can't respect that angle at all. It's crazy, dude. But those were so fun. And which is the sad part is China now funds so many things, so they can't even say much against them.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So then, man, who are your top four predictions, Manav? Since I don't know when I'll get you next.
Yeah. So I think the first two choose themselves. I think Leicester will slip up at some point of time. So, Manav, they've started slipping up
but
already.
But will they slip out of the top four?
I think they will.
Dude, that's a big shout.
Yeah, I think Leicester will slip up, and I think Chelsea and Man United will end in the top four.
Not Wolves.
I think the Europa commitment will take a toll on them at some point of time.
Not on Manchester United. Tu to bada optimist hai. Why are you such an optimist? Don't you want to see Wolves or Sheffield play Champions League next year?
No. Not that. Not a big fan of these clubs playing Champions League, because we saw Leicester playing Champions League for one season.
They reached round of 16.
Yeah, I'm saying they did reach, but yeah, still, I think Chelsea and Man United with the experience, not the managerial experience, but yeah, the experience of club as a whole. I know these clubs are still work in progress, but I think these will progress to the top four eventually.
All right. And the last questions on the podcast. When is Pogba going to return? Do you want him to return?
See, since January is going to be over now, if he is there at the club and he can contribute in some games happily, so, but I really want him to go out this summer and end it once and for all.
Yeah,
it will be a win-win situation for all the parties concerned.
Even if you look at social media, I don't think anyone really cares what Pogba does anymore, right?
Yeah.
And Martial?
Martial, he's a good player, but I still don't think Man United knows what his
right position is. You remember Baru earlier in the podcast said that there's some players who will just pay through the pain, and some people who may not have that big an injury, they're like, nahi, nahi, aaj nahi ho sakta. You think Martial falls into the second category?
Yeah, probably he does. Even Berbatov used to look lazy on the pitch, but this guy looks something else.
No, lazy is different. I'm sure Berbatov played through the pain for the club,
exactly.
He had that first touch. Come on.
Yeah.
Who cares whether he was lazy or not? His
hold up was brilliant, but no, I don't know. Martial looks disinterested. I know in his earlier times, Gary Neville said he doesn't smile, he doesn't even react to goals and all. I don't think Man United still know what his best position is.
Up front.
We saw what he did yesterday.
But there was no Rashford. Rashi was not there, no? That is why.
He didn't need Rashford to finish that chance off against Alisson.
Alright.
Good strikers finish that. Number 9s are supposed to finish that.
Like Lukaku is doing at Inter.
At Inter, yeah.
Alright, Manav. On that note, thanks a lot for coming in today.
Yeah.
Been trying to get you in for some time now. Finally, this has happened.
Yes.
So, thanks a lot for coming in.
Yeah.
And Baru, I don't know. He's just gone. So, yeah. So, and all of you listeners, please follow us on Twitter @footytwaddle, Instagram, and Facebook would be Football Twaddle. See you next week. Bye-bye.